Blog Talk Radio.
Conviction to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
Everybody, Stephen Bubble here, Bozilla, if you will. Thank you for tuning in for another show, The Kelp, once more. I have my good friend Lisa on the phone. Lisa, are you here?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. Real quick, just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you want to talk about today.
Well, I am Lisa Riley, and I am an activist, and I'm currently helping Quentin Sanders. He's in Tennessee State Prison, and along with myself, Mr. James Jones and Mr. Maurice Cliff. We are trying to get this young man a commutation.
Okay, okay. How long? Tell me a little bit about it. How long has he been there?
Okay, Quentin Sanders, he's been incarcerated 21 years. He was arrested at 17 years old. The short story is this: two of his friends and himself, they went to the mall to steal some items. They got caught, dropped the items, ran out of the mall, got into a car. And as they got into a car, a police car pulled up behind them, and the chase was on. They were chasing him. They were going 98 miles an hour through. Now, this is in Memphis, Tennessee, and this mm-hmm. is not on the highway. So they're on a high-speed chase. Another policeman joined the chase. But he pulled out in front of the car that Quentin was in, and they collided. It was a head-on crash, and the policeman was killed. I do want to say this, that I am truly sorry for this officer and his family, and Quentin is truly sorry that this man lost his life. We never, ever want to take anything or downplay the death of this man.
Right, right. That's exactly right. Because, you know, like I said, we come on here, we talk all kinds with a lot of stuff that we say on here, but we never ask for a death of anybody, especially law enforcement, because they're just doing their job. Most of them are just doing
Absolutely.
Their job. Actually, that's we had a lady in Springfield, Ohio, who hit a loss prevention officer coming out of the department store because she stole some stuff, and she got hit the law enforcement. Well, the security guard got hit by her in the car, and they locked, and she got life in prison too. And see, it's stuff like that. She was a young girl too. And see, it's stuff like that, that's what we're trying to find here on the pipeline, that those type of crimes that was an accident that never was supposed to happen. But like I said,
right.
You know, people are not going to see that. First, they're going to say, well, he wasn't there and did a crime. But he dropped it, he ran. Okay, he was spooked. I get that. And yes,
right.
There should be punishment. There should be a punishment go behind the crime. But lock this man up for all this time. That's ridiculous because he's not learning anything. Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I'll tell you, in the state of Tennessee, he got life, okay? He was set and I need people to remember this. He was 17 years old. And at 17, he was his His mother was not allowed in there with him. His family was not allowed to say, this is what you do. He was 17 years old. And if I could add to this, when the cars did collide, Quentin himself was in a coma for 2 months. So he woke up and he had lost a lot of his memory due to his injuries. And
exactly.
Yes. And you know, and if Quentin could be on here with us right now, he would tell you that he is sorry. He's begging for his mercy from everyone. Quentin has spent 21 years in this prison. He has gotten his GED. He has a college education. He has completed electrician class, masonry class, and he's currently the head of the sewing room. When COVID-19 hit in Tennessee, he is currently to this day making 4,000 masks every 30 days, which is shipped out in the community. It's not for the prison, it's for the community. And then Quentin said to his, they call him counselors there, you know, the person that oversees you in the prison and he connects with you. And he says to her, hey, listen, I want to make a change. I want to help people. And so what they had before COVID now, the teenagers that would skip school and become truant, the truant officers would bring them into Tennessee State Prison. And of course, in a confined area, that's probably the nicer part of the prison. But Quentin had the chance to go in the room and tell his story, to say to these children, listen, don't skip school. Don't make the choices. Quentin Sanders is, he wants to be an example for his mistakes. When I first started talking to Quentin Sanders, and I'm going to tell you why I chose to advocate for him. The first thing he said to me was, he wakes up every morning and he hears the sister of the gentleman that was killed, the patrolman. His sister in the intact statement wrote a letter to Quentin. And Quentin every day for 21 years hears her voice. And she said, get an education. Change people's lives. Do something good with yourself so my brother's death is not in vain. And I'm going to tell you, Quentin Sanders took that to heart. And for 21 years, his resume is out of this world. I am so impressed with this young man and the things that he has accomplished, the things that he's continuously doing. He gets up and he works from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. He has his routine. And he, you know, and he's just trying to do the best he can. And of course, we come to the intersection where he wants to come home. It's been 21 years. He does. He wants to come home. And let me tell you this. He's guaranteed, even after 21 years, this young man has never, ever had the opportunities as a regular kid. You know, there's a lot of things he's never had.
Yeah.
Been able to do.
Of course.
But
right.
Quentin Sanders today has a job waiting on him. He is so fortunate. He has housing in Tennessee because he has a beautiful family. Oh, his family is unbelievable, supportive. And then he also has a home that would welcome him in Washington, D.C. So, If I can add to that, Mr. James Jones has extended to Quentin that he would mentor him and he would stay with him and help him build, because he's going to build a foundation in this patrolman's name. That's what he wants to do when he comes home. And he wants to help other 17-year-olds not to make that mistake he did. you know, so he's not veering from it, taking it on mm-hmm. head on. So he's incredible to me. I mean, he inspires me a lot.
That's a good story. I'm glad you told me that type of story, because that's what we do here on the pipeline, and we definitely want to back him. My team has signed his petition, and I believe that he needs to come home because he's done his time. You can hear the remorse in his voice. You can hear the remorse after the stories that you've told. And I believe, you know, what more can he learn inside of a prison but learn more crimes than people say? And I doubt he'll do that. But like I said, needs a chance to come out. He needs a chance to come home.
Right. Well, let me surprise you with this one. Quentin has the backing. He has the support and backing of the prison itself. Is writing letters and saying, hey, it's time. Now I know, and I'm sure you know, that don't happen.
Uh-huh. No, it doesn't.
No.
Mm.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we are very excited. We're excited that it's going so well.
That's a beautiful thing. So what are the prosecutors saying? You know, the prosecutors always going to have their little flip on everything. That's what they try to do. So what? So since the prison itself is speaking up for him, I want to know what the prosecutor and the judge got to say.
Well, see, at this time, a commutation, and I'm learning, and I want to put that mm-hmm. out there. You know, I'm learning because I first thought clemency. And so he's not going to go back in front of a judge or a prosecutor, but with a clemency, you have to be 5 years from your out date before they would consider
right.
it. Well, in the state of Tennessee, Quentin Sanders has to do 51 years before he goes in front of the parole board. Now, there's no one, and I've checked this, and I have a good resource has told me no one has ever stood in front of a parole board after serving 51 years in that prison. So basically he will die before they let him go to the parole board. So what we're trying to do is this, a commutation. We're going to ask the governor, we're going to ask the parole board, hey, look, this is what he has done. This is what, you know, he had took what the family said do. He's owning up to his crime. He's not saying he did not do it. You know, he's ready and willing to do any steps, you know. So it's a mm-hmm. tough situation because I'm so sorry for that patrolman's family. You know, I truly am. And you know, Quentin is also his family is also there. They are very sorry that this happened. And but, you know, we're at that point where, you know, how much does one person do? You know, he's not the same. Yeah, he was 17. He's not. That was 21 years ago. He's not the same person. You know, mm-hmm. he made a child's mistake.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's one thing that we do state on here. Danielle and Chrissy, the main ones, we always say that the kids at that age, their mental capacity is not ready to do adult type of stuff because they don't know. They at that age, they're still thinking like a child, you know, and that's what a child wants to do. They want to run when they get in trouble. You know, I understand why he ran, because he was scared. And when you get scared, you want to run because, oh my God, I'm about to get in trouble. If they don't catch me, they won't, you know, they don't know. And so I understand why he ran, because that's what we would do at that age. We run.
Right.
But the holding up in the prison system like that, and the man has done everything that's supposed to be done and more. What else can he do now? What else does he have left to do? They got a job waiting for him when he gets out, a place to live. And that's some of the main things that parole always say, well, where are you going to live at? Or where are you going to get you a job? You got to do this. You got to do that. He has all this waiting for him. So why not let the man out and give him a shot to prove to everybody that you can change when you're inside? And that's the main thing.
And I agree with you. And let me add that a couple months ago, a news reporter came to the prison and interviewed Quentin. And so he's been in Nashville newspapers. This sewing room is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like they really, really depend on him. He takes his job very serious. And he is making these masks. He's making aprons. He's making pants. He makes all the pants for all the men in prison, you know, or if they get ripped or whatever, he's doing it.
Right,
and let's be honest, we're talking about prison here now. I would bet, although I've not seen it, but I would bet anything he doesn't have no brand new sewing machine to do this on.
No, they're not brand new. They're usually used, and then they wear them out so much when they're inside doing stuff inside the laundry, you know, in prison. They're the laundry room is like they get laundry equipment, but like I said, it's usually laundry from other places that they did get donated to. They're not the 100% the real ones, and the only ones you see the real good ones are the ones that they use for the officers' uniforms that they fix.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But
right.
I do agree with everything you're saying, because the young man does need to come home. And I want you to let him know that when he does come home, and I speak that to existence, that means that's going to happen, because I'm asking God for that to happen. But I want him to know that he is more than welcome to come on the pipeline and talk, because he can reach kids that people can't reach, because he was a child when he went inside. Like I said, that's why I turned to this type of life, this type of thing. So once I was locked up, I was a CO and I was locked up. I said, who else is going to listen to somebody? But they're not going to listen to a CO. They'll listen to somebody who was also an inmate or a returning citizen. So he needs to understand that I have his back when he comes out. You know, the Bozilla Show will have him on and talk to him. I will even write letters on his behalf. Our staff will actually write letters for him, because there's nothing left for him to do there. You're just wasting you're wasting this man's life. You're wasting this man's life. He already gave up half his life for something that he did when he was a teenager. You know, and this is just crazy. There's nothing left for him to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, I can understand how the family may or may not. I don't know how they feel. But, I never ever want anyone to think that we've just pushed their feelings to the side, because that's not the case. I can guarantee you, Quentin, for the rest of his life, will hear voice in his head.
You will. And I'd like to tell people, us as returning citizens, we do relive that incident that got you in trouble. Because I tell my people that, I tell them that all the time. I relive that every day. Of what happened, relive that time when I got sentenced, and I looked into my wife at that time in her eyes and saw the pain and tears of me getting incarcerated. And you never shake that, because it's always going to be there. No matter how much you say it's over with, it's never over, because you're always going to have to relive that incident. And that right there is nothing compared. My stuff is nothing compared to what happened with him, because he, like I said, I just gave up 3 years of my life. But he gave up half his. That's just crazy. And he's still serving time for something that needs to be done.
Right.
Well, he's been in prison longer than he's been alive. You see what I'm saying? He was 17 years old when he went in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know, and you know, and the people listening that's been to prison, you know, you got to grow up real fast.
You do.
And you know,
you do.
You gotta, yeah. But he took this negative and he turned it into a positive. He didn't get in trouble. He didn't sit around playing cards. He didn't do any of that. His feet hit the ground and he done it. He started with his education. He didn't stop at his GED. He went to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't stop with that. He's got so many trades under his belt. Honestly, I think he's coming out of prison overqualified for many jobs.
Yeah. Because coming out of prison, coming out with GED, coming out with a bachelor's degree, coming out with certificates and stuff like that, special electrician and stuff like that, you are actually bettering yourself. It's almost like remember the $6 million man? We rebuilt you to be better. So now you have to take it and show people that this is what I did and this is what I had to do to repay the society. And I repay society, but way I repay society is making myself better. And so now I can tell people, look, this is not what all returning citizens that do have a chance to get out, they can do the right thing. And he's coming out with both gun barrels loaded, and he's ready to take this world by storm. And I commend him, because this right here is the biggest step in his life now, is waiting and waiting. The waiting game is horrible. Waiting to see what's going to happen. And he's been waiting too long.
Right. And I know I don't want to keep going on and taking up the time, but if you don't mind, I would really love to thank his family. Sanders family. The Sanders family has been phenomenal. They call me on a daily basis. They want to know what they can do, you know, what they can help with. They've been wonderful. And again, now I've been talking with Quentin Sanders for over 4 months. So this is not something that happened yesterday. I need a community. And thank you for your offer to help with letters. I will appreciate that, and I will take you up on it.
Okay.
But, you know, James Jones and Maurice, if it was not for their help, we would have never got as far. I don't want anyone to believe that I did this solely alone myself, because I cannot. I cannot. And if anyone listening to this would like to come on board and help, please, we welcome everyone. And please don't forget about the petition. Keep sharing and signing. It's so important.
I saw your Facebook Live today, and how far are you? How many signatures did you ask for originally, and how are you at, where are you at now?
Well, each day we have a goal, and yesterday we needed the goal of 1,000 last night before midnight. In order to get change.org, contact James Jones and said, hey, if you get 1,000 signatures, we will help you promote it. So, we said, okay, we're going to do it. We got that. Not only did we get that, we got 1,500 signatures. So we are over. The last time I looked, I believe we were close to 1,600. Please don't quote me on that number, but it's growing. It's definitely growing, and now that
That's
we have the help
thing.
With, oh, it is wonderful that the love and the care that people are giving, it's wonderful. And you know, I have always said, we all need to come together. We all need to come together. We're all doing it. What we're doing, what you're doing, I'm doing, is we may not do it the same way, but we're helping people.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. And like I said, I'm going to say this. I want all my advocates that are out there fighting for all kinds of returning citizens, all kinds of stuff that goes on in the prison system, all the corrupt stuff that goes inside the prison system, all the viruses going around the prison system, especially with this virus going around now. I need everybody to hear my voice and hear what's going on. Please sign the petition. Get your people in your organization to sign the petition, because more people that deal with this type of stuff and we sign and become aware, because that's what's going to take. People like us that can help people that are in there. Show people, especially my brothers who are just out and our sisters who are just getting out. Please hear our voices and help this young man, because someone coming from the system, you know what it takes to get out and how far it is to get out. It doesn't look like it's far once you're trying to start, but once you get going, it takes forever. it does feel like it's of everything. Even though, like I said, I did 22 months in prison, and it felt like it was a thousand. It felt like it was about a million years. And
yeah,
it's just because the wear and tear on your body, not the physical, the mental part of it. And
absolutely,
this young man has done years for something that he has done his time for. So you guys hear the concern in this lady, my friend Lisa's voice. You hear the concern in my voice. Everybody who hears our voices, please sign the petition. Just sign it. It doesn't take long just to sign it. Put your Hancock on it.
Well,
it doesn't take long.
Yeah.
And let me say this, for anyone that's listening, if you have a petition, please, please put it on my page. Please post it on my page. I welcome anyone's petition. Because
me too.
I believe in the petition. So, you know, so that people know I'm working together. I'm not going to ask you to do something for me that I wouldn't do for you.
Exactly. I agree with you 100% on that. It was a beautiful statement because I'm feel the same way. Everybody knows that I sign every petition that I can sign when people send me stuff. And like I said, I'll bring people on the show. And you guys can say what you need to say. This is a free, no judgment zone. You guys say what you need to say because I agree with everything that people say about what's going on in the system. That right there, what this young man's going through, is too much. It's too much because I know right now, I know my friend Danielle, she's on here, and she's the producer. She does all the stuff for me. And Danielle and Chrissy Wilson, I know these people right here are in the pipeline. They teach and all this type of stuff. They even opened up their doors for me when I got out, and they were my friends from day one. Me and Danielle have been friends since college, and she knows everything, and I depend on her, and she is one person who can write a letter that you would never believe, and I'm pretty sure if she hears my voice now, she will have a letter written up, and we can get stuff sent out. And I want people to understand,
beautiful.
Please. Guys, please, if you guys hear, okay, I'm about to let her know, get the information, what you need to get in contact with you so we get these letters out to All right.
Thank you so much. You know, this God put people in my life for a reason. I believe that, and God knew that if you could see me now you got me tearing up over here. I'm glad we're just talking.
Right.
Thank you. I think.
No problem.
And I want to tell you, the Sanders family, they thank you. They truly do.
No problem. And like I said, you get the information where we can send these letters to. If they're listening, people listen. Can you write this down?
Well, you know what? Can you send it to my email? I'll give you my email.
Yeah, give her email, guys. Listen up. Write it down.
Listen up. It's Lisa, Lisa, Riley, Riley, 44 at iCloud.com.
Okay. There you guys got it. I'm pretty sure Daniel wrote it down because she writes stuff fast, and I will post it on my page, and we'll send it out to everybody so people can write these letters and give them back to you so we can get this man home.
Right, and sign the petition if you can. Thank you.
Yeah, please, sign the petition, everybody. Like I said, it doesn't take much to sign it. Just click it and sign it. We got 90 seconds left, so what last little few things you have to see, Miss Lisa? Go ahead and say it.
I want to thank you for taking your time, and I want to thank Danielle and your beautiful wife and everyone that gave me opportunity. Thank you.
No problem. I want to thank everybody who tuned in. You know, this is what we do here. I'm here for love. I want to make sure everybody understands that the Bozilla Show is somewhere where you can come. Let your hair down and let it go, because we all need that one person who can help you. And like I said, that's what I choose to do. I want to help. So like I said, I want to thank Miss Lisa for coming on and tell him to keep it. You talk to him, tell him I've got his back. Anytime he wants to talk to me or wants to write me a letter, we write back. We just don't accept mail. We write back too. But once again, our time's running short. Everybody, please tune in tomorrow. I think we have another show. Or Daniel was on today talking about the picture that I put up about the kids so far apart eating lunch because of this virus. Check it out. It's on her page. Check her out. Listen to what you got to say. But I want to thank you guys for tuning in today. This was a very good
show.
6:30 tomorrow. I forget who's coming on, but somebody's coming on 6:30. We got 10 seconds left. I want to say thank you, Ms. Lisa, and we will be in contact.
Thanks.
And please write the letters and sign the petition. All right, y'all. Good night. Bozilla out.
Thanks.